Welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. What you are about to hear was originally recorded in 2010 as research for my book, Public Speaking Superpowers. After going through all this content, I've decided to release these 80-plus recordings as a bi-weekly podcast. I hope you enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence. Today, I'm speaking with Steve Sabato. Steve is a motivational speaker and a life coach. He is well known as a humorist and relates to his audience through stories and anecdotal humor. He presents to groups and organizations as well as school communities throughout the Midwest. Welcome, Steve, to Public Speaking Superpowers.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Just so listeners can get a feel for your unique expertise, could you tell us a little bit about your journey to success in public speaking?
I certainly can. Actually, I started off 25 years ago doing real small little seminars for local groups and local organizations for free, and sometimes they said, hey, we'll buy you dinner if you'll speak. And I started off just doing little things like that.
We'll speak for food.
That was excellent, yeah. And that's what I did for, probably 5 or 6 years, because it was just once in a while, and it was just fun to do, and I enjoyed it. And, of course, you get enough accolades, and you decide you might want to do more of it. It's a lot like everything else. If somebody cheers you on, you go that direction.
That's right. So do you believe that public speaking is a learned skill or something that you're born being able to do? And why do you feel that way?
It's a learned skill. I taught college for 7 years and I taught public speaking. Some of the kids I started off with who absolutely would not speak in front of an audience ended up becoming performers and speakers. They would call me back 6, 7, 8, 9 years later and tell me of their success and how much they enjoyed it now and thank me a lot for still doing that stuff for them and how they got past their fear of speaking in public. But yeah, I believe that almost everything we do is a learned skill, from our attitudes and behaviors all the way up to our abilities.
Right, and I think people would be surprised at how many really big-time performers and public speakers and people who spend their life in front of an audience, or at least spend their career in front of an audience, start off shy, reserved, had to be coaxed into coming up on a stage, and then something clicks.
Absolutely. And I can even join in that wonderful little experience. I was a senior in English class in East Moline, Illinois. And they said, hey, guess who has to take extra credit? And there were 4 people in my class that had to take extra credit. And they said, so I'll name them off. And the teacher names my name in there because I wasn't the brightest student in the box. And so she said, hey, for you 4 guys, in order to pass the class, you have to go down and try out for theater. Well,
oh, wow.
I thought theater was just for the littlest kind of boys, you know, I was in those days. And I said, no. And she said, well, you're going to fail. I said, I'd rather fail than try out for theater. And she said, then I'll have to call your mother. And, of course, you know the fear of God in you now. You know when that happens.
No, not Mom.
Yes, that's right. And I went down that night and tried out for theater, never in my wildest dreams thinking I would even enjoy it. And not only did I enjoy it, but I got a part. And from that day forward, I became a lot more verbose and a lot more outgoing and just have enjoyed speaking in front of people a lot.
Wow, that's a great story.
So I think you're right. There's a lot of actors and a lot of comedians who, on one level, they talk about how shy they are and look at them and think that's so wild. But you know what? They have a side that blossoms under that kind of spotlight, whether it's acting or whether it's speaking. So a lot of them have done that.
So if you were a public speaking hero, what do you believe would be your main superpowers?
Oh, I know my superpower. It's the ability to help people achieve their goals. I love that. That's one of the best things you can ever do, is to find out you change somebody's life. I had that experience. I've done that several times. People come back to me and say things, but one gentleman in particular, I was doing a speech at a manufacturing company. Basically, what they asked me to do was go in and motivate their people to be better so they would be more productive. They took me into the factory and had everybody shut off their machines and stop and look at me. And I was supposed to, and I was supposed to motivate them to become better. And, you know, you're paid to do that, so you do your best. And you think, wow, I wonder if anybody even heard what I said. And it had to be 5, 6 years later, a gentleman walked up to me out in public, and he said, I think you're Steve Sabato, aren't you? I went, yes, I am. And he went, Steve, you don't remember me, but you did a speech for me way back, and he told me where. And I went, oh, yeah, I remember that one. And he went, well, I actually took you to heart, and I followed my dream. And he said, I'm a firefighter today because you inspired me to change my life. And I was like, oh, my gosh, is that something.
Wow.
And he actually decided to go after his dream after all that time. Yeah, it was really cool.
It's kind of humbling to realize that when you get up on a stage and you speak in front of people, that your words can have such power over someone else's life, or at least influence on their life.
I think we just don't have a clue how impactful our words are. We have that wonderful little rhyme, sticks and stones will hurt my bones, but words will never harm me, meant for the people who are picking on you at the time. But unfortunately, the truth is the sticks and stones we heal from, but the words we may never heal from. And so words have power. The Bible talks about the power in the tongues. It's astounding how we can affect other people with things we say every day.
I know, and if you think about it, language is a human construct. It's not even something that's in our DNA necessarily. It's something we learn, and yet it's got this intense power over us because it's how we communicate the thoughts in our head.
I'll say yes. I share that on many levels. One of the things when I teach people, and if I get the time and the opportunity, I teach that our words are what people look to us for, but it's everything else we do, the gestures we make, the facial expressions we make, the body language we make, the intonation as we speak. I mean, let's face it, if I just spoke in a nice little monotone here and accomplished what we had to do, you probably wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't put me on the air. You'd say, oh, well, that guy was boring. He might have said some great things. But because he didn't say them in the right manner, we usually tune them out.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure that many people have had the experience where they had one intention, but for some reason their inflection was off, and it came across as a completely different meaning.
I teach that to people every day because I always say, you know, when people say, well, I said, do you know what your face says? And they go, what do you mean? I go, every morning. I said, I have to look in the mirror and I play faces with myself. And they go, you're just stupid. I go, okay, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been walking someplace, whether it's the office or whether it's home, your spouse said something to you, and they said, well, what's wrong today? And you went, nothing. Why? And they went, well, I can tell there's something wrong. And you and I know that there's nothing wrong, but something in our facial expression or our demeanor said, hey, there's something wrong. And we had no clue we were conveying that to anyone.
Oh, yeah. And part of that's what in your own mind. It's like I heard this story the other day of this famous scene with an actress where the director told her to be completely blank. And yet, because of the context of that image with the rest of the film, with the music and the scenes before and after it, it's become one of the most famous scenes of how she was able to emote her expressions in her face, and all she was doing was being blank.
Oh, no kidding. Wow. Yeah, because how many of us can even do that?
Well, I suppose if you just completely blanked your mind out, you could probably do it. But even then, it's like the expressions on our face are not only an expression of what we're feeling, but they're also an expression of what the person who's perceiving you is feeling.
Oh, that's a very good point. Because I have to admit, when I try and go blank, most of the time people just say, you look stupid. See, what's going on? But that's exactly right. Their perceptions, what they see, that's phenomenal. That's a very good point.
And so when you're up there speaking, you have to be really aware of your word choice, your body language, so that you can try and convey your true meaning so that it is not as susceptible to the however many people in your audience perceptions are there.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of people have coaches that watch them and coach them and tell them what and how they need to do things. Zig Ziglar has always been a big hero of mine because the way he used to move around the stage, now he's older now and can't do it as much, but he used to just almost run to the edges of the stage to convey his emotions on a particular topic or a particular phrasing. And so cool to have him do that, where he really affected his language with his body.
Right. Now, getting back to your superpower, which was to help people reach their goals through your speaking, if someone wanted to learn how to develop that particular superpower as well, what would your advice be?
My best advice to anybody who wants to develop their abilities would be to read, 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 listen, listen, listen. I got so many mottos that I live by, but one of the creeds I live by is you will always be exactly who you are except for three things, and that's the books you read, the things you listen to, and the people you associate with. And if you want to become better at something, then you have to read and listen and associate with the people who epitomize that type of style that you're looking for. And if you read the right books, you'll find the right motivation within yourself to absolutely become someone who can change someone else's life. It is so exhilarating to have that ability, that opportunity. Every time I speak, I have that opportunity. If you go to my website, which is www.stevesapato.com, you will find that mine says, give me 60 minutes and I will change your life, your company, or your future. And the reason I say that is because my technique and my style is to ask you enough questions so that you open up yourself to get to know yourself better. And that, to me, is the key. There's a book out there called Questions Are the Answers. It's a wonderful book, and it's designed for salespeople. But if you take the manner of that book and tuck it into your psyche, it's all about, gee, if I ask you questions. I just saw somebody the other day who was talking about something, and they said, have you ever been around somebody that they hardly spoke at all, but you didn't realize that? You talked, and they asked you questions, and you talked, and they asked you questions. And when the night was over, you said, wasn't that person fascinating?
Yeah, I've had. I've heard that, is that the better listener you are, the more interesting conversationalist you are perceived to be.
Yeah, exactly right. And it is astounding. For those of us who speak for a living, it's hard to shut up.
I bet.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, I have a little story on that. I'm always known as the guy who, like, brightens the party and makes the life of the party a lot of times. And I was at this one function. It was in one of the glass tin cases at a hockey arena, and there were just, like, 30 people in there. And I was very quiet that night, and somebody walked up and said, Steve, what's wrong? And I went, nothing. And I said, why? And they went, well, this isn't the Steve Sapato I know. What do you mean? And she said, you're so quiet. I went, it's not my time. And she said, what do you mean? And there were two other people in that group of 30 who were looking to be the life of the party. And rather than compete, why not let them have their opportunity? And it was so neat to watch them move from group to group or try and control the tempo by raising their voice or by cutting somebody off. And they didn't know they were doing it necessarily. It wasn't rudeness. It was their willingness and desire to be the life of the party.
Interesting. I have a question about something you said just a little bit earlier about you are who you are, except for three things, and one of them was what you read. And actually, you phrase it the books you read, and I think it also includes articles and things like that. Now, when most people say that, they're usually talking about nonfiction books, like the self-help books you read or the biographies you read. But I've always felt that it's also the fiction you read. And I was just wondering what your thoughts might be on that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if all you read was comic books, what kind of vocabulary? Now, I know people say, well, there's adult comic books out there. I go, I understand that. But for the most part, if all you read are comic books, or if all you read are certain periodicals, everything you do will be gauged in that direction. You know, the sports nuts that we run around with, all they read and listen to is sports. They watch it on TV 24 hours a day. They read it in their magazines. They read it on Yahoo or whatever they do. But yeah, that's exactly right. If you consistently read the other things, you will become more like those other things also. Now, granted, if you want to be better and more motivational or more uplifting, you need to read the uplifting books. You want to be a better manager, for instance, I've got a book out called Great Managers Are Made, Not Born. And that's all about, obviously, learning to become a great manager. We don't just stumble into that by accident. Another of my books is The 20 Things You Need to Learn in Order to Find the Love of Your Life. And those things, when we talk to people all the time, it's fascinating to me why people say, well, I know how to have a relationship. And I say, really, are you in one now? And they're like, no, but we struggle with relationships because we say the wrong things or we do the wrong things, and yet we never take a course or a class. If you've heard of Leo Buscaglia, have you heard of Leo?
Oh, yeah.
If you read his things, it's just so phenomenal to hear his philosophies on love and affection and joy and wonder. And I would love to be that kind of a speaker, but nobody wants to pay to come hear that anymore. We're all into let's laugh and let's have a good time. So, you know, I turned myself into a humorist. And one of the things I do is I go listen to other people's humor.
Right.
That's where I get some material. That's where I get some ideas. And again, it's because that's the direction I'm headed.
Right. That kind of reminds me of an article I wrote once for my Toastmasters newsletter back when I was a Toastmaster. I called it The Evocation of Heroes. And it was all about when you're in a situation that you're not sure what to do, evoke your hero. Think about what would your hero do in this situation. And by regularly doing that, those behaviors and thought patterns can eventually become natural and a part of who you are.
Oh, absolutely. You and I need to get together. We could share stories forever, I think.
Probably.
One of the things I do, and my son has picked this up, he's 24 now, and people always talk to him about these things, but I always sit with my back away from the door. In other words, I always face the door to any place I'm at. In a restaurant, I try and face the doorway. And people ask me, why do you do that? I go, well, in case something happens, I'll be one of the first ones to know. Somebody walks in with a gun, I'll be the first one to know. You look for those things. People, you look for that? I go, okay, if you watch TV, do you ever look at these situations and say, what would you do in those situations? And the people say, no. And I always go, really? Why? Because it's exactly right. When you say evoke the hero, what would your hero do? Okay, if I was Spider-Man, what would Spider-Man do in this situation? And granted, I wish I had a superpower. Oh, ready for a little joke?
Sure.
And it's not a joke. It's really the truth, how men and women differ from each other. I started to say something about Spider-Man, but here's what it is. I was riding my bike in the rain one day, and I tweeted it. And I said, hey, the thunder was thundering and the lightning was flashing and the rain was pouring down on me. And I'm riding my bicycle against the wind, leaned over, and women wrote to me and went, are you nuts? The lightning could have killed you. And the men wrote to me, wow, did you get struck by lightning? And if you did, what superpowers did you get? And that's the difference between men and women, is the women think along those lines and the men think, I'm not going to die, I'm going to gain a superpower.
Well, that's because girls are made out of sugar and spice and everything nice, and little boys are made out of snips and snails and puppy dog tails.
That's why we're always so jumpy, the tail.
That's it.
That's right, isn't it? But it is. It's fascinating how when you talk about what would your hero do, that's a fascinating topic that I could talk about for a long time with you.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I actually ended up expanding that article and interviewing someone who wrote a book about heroes, and haven't figured out what I'm going to do with that article yet because the original publication I had it for ignored it.
Didn't pick it up, huh?
Yeah. Didn't pick it up, but...
Turn it into a book. You got lots of opportunity. There's a book right
there.
That's
actually very true, and it might be part of the series because there are going to be more books once I finish this one.
That'd be cool. I think you struck on a nice little nerve there. How would your superhero behave? Do you think your superhero would curse in public? Do you think your superhero would be rude? Would give the finger to people in traffic? You know, it's like...
What if your superhero's Mel Gibson, maybe?
Oh, yeah, well... Yeah, but then he'd come over and smack you too, right?
This is true. And what's nice about that whole concept is that the heroes can be real people. Some of my heroes include Carl Sagan and Ray Bradbury. But they can also be imaginary heroes and still be just as valid and just as helpful in creating the life that you want to live.
We'll see, Rosa Parks is in that. I mean, can you imagine the amazing pressure it must have been on Rosa Parks? Not the back of the bus. Think about that at huge terms, but huge. I mean, I can't imagine what she was expecting, what she hoped for in terms of what was happening.
I've heard a story about it, and she really was not thinking, oh, I'm going to start a civil rights movement. It was more like, I'm tired. I'm not moving.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
if I remember correctly, I could be wrong. Don't quote me. But I remember it was what was going through her mind at that time was mundane and very personal and small. It was not, I'm going to create a movement, I'm going to stand up for my rights. It may not have been, I'm tired, but it was something very simple and not earth-shattering.
But at some point in time, when they said, hey, lady, you have to move to the back of the bus, she had to know.
I'm sure it came across at some point. And I'm sure that there was a bit of stubbornness and frustration in there, too. Because at some point, you just go, you know, this is just wrong, and I'm going to stand my ground.
Oh, yeah. Well, just we think back to Willie Mays type people in baseball. And I'm trying to think, there were people before him, and I wish I could remember their names. But I read a small article on it a long time ago, and it said, you know, they'd be on the outfield, and people would be throwing things at them because they happened to be the wrong color out playing baseball. And you're like, wow, how brave did you have to be? What kind of hero were you to those people?
It's amazing to think that reality was like that at one point.
Oh, just astounding, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm just glad to know that we have evolved.
Well, for most of us, we have.
Well, thank you so much for joining me on Public Speaking Superpowers.
My pleasure.
This is the end of today's Public Speaking Superpowers. This is your host, Karma Spence, signing off.
Because this was recorded a few years back, I've cut the speaker's contact information from the recording because it may have been out of date. If you would like to learn more about today's speaker, go to publicspeakingsuperpowers.com/featured speakers and click on his picture. I'm working to keep the information there as fresh as possible.